Today's episode is brought to you by the Podcasting Club, the community that helps you start, grow, and monetize your podcast. I'm a huge fan of podcasting, and I believe everybody should start a podcast. But the main question that I get from people is, how do I actually start a podcast? What is the process? Should I use this mic or this mic? Do I actually need to wear a headset or something? And I'm just like, let's keep it simple. And that's why I created this membership to help you start your podcast in the right way, to help you get started, to help you grow your podcast and help you monetize your podcast. So if you want to learn more about this membership, head over to thepodcastingclub.com. And obviously, links are going to be in the show notes.
Welcome to the She Wins Podcast, the place for you to learn the systems and the strategies to grow your business and avoid costly mistakes. Every week, your host and amazing guests have conversations that will inspire you, motivate you, and empower you to show up and make it happen. Learn about marketing, building authority, lead generation, self-love, and much more with your host, marketing and business strategist, your soon-to-be business bestie, Fatia Fusaini.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode. I hope you're all doing great. I hope you're all doing amazing and you're excited for today's episode, because today we're talking about PR and SEO, something that many people, including myself, are not really into. Like, we don't know how all this works. Like, when someone asks me to write something, I get like, okay, I don't want to do it. I get a panic attack. Anxiety is coming. So today, I have on the podcast Dimitri Dragilev, and he helps companies do keyword research, write article on their website on keywords that they want to rank for, and do PR around those articles, link building, and all this stuff that he's going to talk himself about it. So Dimitri basically grew a startup from zero to 40 million page views through PR and SEO, and then got that company acquired by Google. And he learned a lot through this process. So basically, he applied everything he learned into his recent company called JustReachOut.io, and is a DIY PR software tool, which he grew again from zero to 5,000 plus paying customers. And these customers include Airbnb, HubSpot, Sematech. So literally, you know what kind of caliber we're talking about here. So JustReachOut as well got acquired literally a couple of months ago in December. And Dimitri, in general, over the last 10 years, he published 1,500 plus articles that you can find on Forbes, Entrepreneurs, Wired, and many other publications. So I'm so excited to have Dimitri here. And me and him already had the chance to kind of have a conversation on Clubhouse as well. So welcome to the show, Dimitri.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for such an awesome intro.
So tell us a little bit how you actually got started in SEO and PR.
I was just like anybody else, you know. Like in my video, I say I had no background in marketing. I was a software engineer. I was unhappy in my job. I quit my job. I sold everything I had. I got into my Honda Civic with my girlfriend, who is my wife now. And we just drove cross country to California because she wanted to go to get a master's degree. And it was in California. And I was reading a magazine called Web 2.0. And it was all about startups getting money from investors. And they were these young kids in Silicon Valley. This was 2007. Yeah. It was already pretty, you know, big industry there, of course. And I was like, I got to go and check this out, you know. And I didn't have anything to my name. We just packed up our stuff and we drove cross country and stayed in this motel and tried to get an apartment. And I joined the same school that my girlfriend joined, my wife now, as Middlebury College, graduate school there. And I decided I'll just get an MBA. Like everybody, because I was just like, just loner, software engineer, didn't want to talk to anybody. And I was like, I'll get an MBA. And before I even started the program, I got introduced to this guy, Mrinal Desai. And he was like, he was a graduate of this program. Yeah. And he immigrated here from India, and he kind of self-taught entrepreneur. He was number 20 at LinkedIn, and he was starting a startup. Like, he was just getting a startup going right before he was closing money from investors. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. And I really tried to get a job with him. I was like, oh, Manal, can you hire me? He's like, well, can you do any marketing? And he's like, I don't really do anything. I don't know what to do. He's like, well, here, I'll give you a test. We're starting this company called CrossLoop. Go put up a page on Wikipedia. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess so. I'll just create a page. And he's like, if you can keep it up for 24 hours, you have yourself a free marketing internship. I put it up. I thought it would be easy. But then all these editors started attacking me, saying, oh, this is self-promotion. What are you doing? Putting up random stuff on Wikipedia, you know?
So you couldn't keep it for 24 hours.
So I actually did, but I had to make up all sorts of things. I didn't know him, but apparently he was number 20 on LinkedIn and he had accomplished other things. So I was quickly Googling, trying to put notes in there and say, hey, this is a legitimate thing. And he was number 20 at LinkedIn and he's starting a new company and he's raising money. So anyway, I kept the page up. He gave me an internship, and in the process of the next 2 years during my MBA, going to school for my MBA, I got a lot of know-how from him. So he taught me how to pitch journalists and how to do this on your own and how to figure out what to write to journalists and how to get conversations going. And I was like, oh gosh, you know, it was an incredible start to a career in content marketing, SEO, PR, because I didn't know anything from anything at all. And MBA really didn't help much either. I mean, it was more like broad stroke kind of thinking that you learn. So that was the start.
That's a quite overwhelming start, let's say. Like, you had to learn everything while like studying and stuff like that. So from there, how did you actually go to Polar? That's actually the company that you got acquired by Google, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the transition that you had to go through?
So Polar Polls was a company started by Luke W. He's the founder of like mobile first movement. If you guys ever heard of like building a app or a mobile version first before, he kind of wrote all the books. And I met him. So after CrossLoop, got acquired, but I left before CrossLoop got acquired. So I learned a lot from Renal, but I left and I went to go work at a design firm. And while working at that design firm, ended up meeting this guy, Luke, and it's funny, actually a cool story. While I was working at the design firm, there's a journalist named Walt Mossberg, and he's kind of like a big name. He was like Recode, Vox, you know, he did All Things D, like he was a personal technology columnist at Wall Street Journal, really big name, right? And I saw how Renal would strike up conversations with him just over like email. And I was like, oh gosh. So my first day on my first full-time job at Zurb, they were doing like a design app or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're building a design app. I'm going to email Walt Mossberg. I'm going to get an interview with him.
Yeah.
And he responded to me and I was so surprised. Like, I was a nobody. Like, this was my first job after an internship. He's like, sure, I'll take a look at this thing. And we get on this call and I'm like, well, Walt, this is a design app for web designers to get feedback from their clients. Mm-hmm. He's like, I cover personal tech. Like, I do consumer stuff. Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Like, this is B2B stuff. I'm like, well, this is kind of like B2C. I was like trying to make it and save it. He's just like, this is not accurate at all. Please don't call me again. I was just saying, yeah. But I had all the engineers. This is my day 3 or 4 on the job. I had like all these engineers scrambling, trying to put together this demo. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh gosh, lesson learned. One main lesson learned, like really look at what journalists really want to see and try and put your story next in line and see if they really fit. And so that's where I kind of learned a lot. But I also met this guy, Luke. He was starting a company called Polar. So then he's like, hey, you're pretty good at this PR outreach stuff. Why don't you, you know, join and you can do PR for us. And Polar was a polling app. It's just like a little poll. you put it up and you can say, hey, do I like McDonald's or Burger King or, I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, something very similar to that. But anybody can put these things up. And we just needed to grow it. And I didn't know how to do it. And I was just figuring things out. And I literally one day was looking at Tech Meme, which is like breaking news stories.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe I should create polls on breaking news stories and then literally ask them to promote the polls and put them the data in. It didn't really work at first because I didn't have any data and they didn't want to put our polls into their stories. But what I ended up doing is I started creating like, oh, Xbox versus PS4. Mm-hmm. I'll just create a poll and then I'll promote it on Twitter. I'll pay money to promote it through ads or something. Get some data in there and then pitch them and say, hey, you just wrote on this topic. I just have some data. Can you put it in? Mm-hmm. And so that just worked. And so for 2 years, this is how we went from 0 to 40 million page views. I literally pitched that same playbook over and over and over again. I would email all the journalists on any given breaking news topic and say, hey, you just wrote about this. Can you include my poll in there? Yeah. And that's, we kept growing and eventually we started embedding their polls and we ended up working with NPR and TechCrunch and all the Hearst publications and Forbes and all the major publications were using us by the time Google acquired us. Yeah. And it was just incredible to strike up these conversations with everybody. And that was just a turning point, I think, in my career overall. I was thought, oh, wow, I really landed on something that I could just do for a while and teach people. I launched my course and my online education platform to help people do the same because anybody can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I started building Just Reach Out to kind of help people do it with tools.
Even because everybody can do it, but a lot of people just don't know how to do it. And that's the big thing. And I just want to jump a little bit back when you said that you message and you emailed the journalist and you got a reply from him and you didn't expect it. What did you message him to kind of get his kind of attention? Because obviously he gave you some attention, he even got on a call with you. How did you get that attention?
So I shared a few of these samples. I'll send them to you too. I got actually Ashton Kutcher to also reply to me later while working at Zurb. I ran a speaker series called Zurb Soapbox, and I would try and get really high name speakers to participate in my interview. Yeah. So Mrinal taught me, like when I was at Crossloop, really study the person, like look at their curiosities, their interests, and go after quality over quantity approach. Yeah. So most people, when they think, like if you're anybody who's listening to this, they think of PR as a large list visually in our minds. We think of a large list of journalists and we're going to pitch all of them at once. And we're going to put our scoop, like what are we doing? We're launching something, we're doing something, right? The very notion of that is a little bit broken and archaic because most of those people are not interested in what you have to do, what you're saying. And so what you want to do is you want to personalize it to a level where you're actually striking up conversation with somebody on something interesting and you want to build and develop the relationship. More work, and immediately as you're listening to this, you might be saying, not for me, like I don't have time for this. Because I don't see the ROI right away because most people psychologically want to see something quick. Mm-hmm. I email, I get a response or I don't. If I don't, I just scale up 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 emails. And if I can't get those lists, I'm going to go pay a firm to do it or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's actually doing more disservice to more people versus building real relationships yourself with, you know, high profile individuals. Yeah. And so I kind of started through that approach, and that's all I've done is I would look at, so with Walt Mossberg, I looked at, oh, he was talking about the smartphone and the future of the smartphone and iOS 6 versus iOS 7. So I was like, oh, since you already covered or talked about these topics, I had 3 polls on that data. So I went and created 3 more. And I said, well, I actually ran polls on the data or information you talked about. What do you think of data in my polls? And so to him, he already had covered it. And so he was like, okay, be interesting. Since I was at a design firm, I wasn't pitching anything around polls. So again, I was pitching a design app. Mm-hmm. And that was my mistake, is thinking, oh, he would cover a design app, even though it's not really B2C. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a consumer app. It's an mm-hmm. app for designers. And but to strike up conversation, I used the poll idea, and I kind of said, hey, you were interested in that. With Ashton Kutcher, I can show you the email that I sent, but it was literally, I interviewed maybe 5 or 7 people that he himself mentioned in all his talks at Stanford and different kind of talks that he gave. And then I said, hey, I'm a big fan of you, of your work in philanthropy or investing in startups. I interviewed these 5 people that you mentioned a lot in my speaker series. Would you at all be interested in being the 6th one? And so I worked very hard to try and get everyone that he looks up to get on some kind of call with me. So it's more like personalizing, quality over quantity. Yeah. That's why I always say, if anybody who's just starting out, there's, you know, like newsletters that come out where journalists actually ask questions, like Harrow or Response Source. There's just like tons of these out there. We index all of them and just reach out. So it allows you to easily kind of search them, but you can just subscribe. They're free. And you can just sit back and respond to journalists' questions. Like if somebody has a question on e-commerce or marketing or whatever it is, and you can learn what they're asking and eventually start building those relationships.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, especially you were saying, like, being intentional, getting more personal. A lot of people literally, like you were saying, like, they literally go broad. They're like, oh, I need to go through maybe hundreds of small journalists before I can even think. And a lot of people don't even dare do stuff. Like, you were daring to kind of go to Ashton Kutcher. You were like, kind of, you know, it's that mindset as well, you know, I will do it. I will try. If it doesn't work, cool, but I will try. A lot of people don't even want to try because they're just like already in their mind, it's just like it's not gonna happen. But I feel like, you know, it's a mindset thing as well. You were like, I'm gonna go to those people, I'm gonna try, I'm gonna email them, I'm gonna try and get their attention. And if they, even if they give me their attention and they don't want what I'm giving it to them, I'm gonna try and convince them. Is that like, you know, Tennessee, is that, you know, keep going kind of mindset as well? And I like the fact they say it's about being intentional with what you actually reaching out with, like, you know, that the lesson that you learn, like, kind of need to know what are they curious about, what are they working on. So it's being very specific as well on, like, you know, who you're targeting and what you're gonna tell them after you kind of reached out to them. So it's like getting personal. Like, I feel like that's something that a lot of people miss, and they feel like I just need to go there and pitch myself. But nowadays, it's not about pitching yourself out there. It's all about getting personal. People need to know that you care about them, that you look at their work, what they're doing, what they're interested about. And I think that's what made you so successful in your outreach and your PR, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, personalizing is something people forget. And it's hard to do. And it takes a lot of time, so people just don't decide not to. But there are ways to kind of speed it up and outsource some of it. Like, you can have an assistant. Like, I employ an assistant in Philippines that just does research for me. So I tell them, hey, here's a list of links of publications. Mm-hmm. Find me journalists who cover how to pitch like PR tools, communications, that realm. And different marketing tools, and talk about, like, give me the latest articles that they've written about, look at their Twitter profile, and tell me any questions that they asked. And so there's a column for latest articles, latest questions, and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It costs me $5 an hour. I might, you know, maybe spend $200 a month or something on that research. It really is worth my time, because I can work on creating the pitch and the ideas. Yeah. Around these things. And then, you know, like, I might write the actual pitch, and then I would say to someone, well, can you take this pitch and kind of work it into these details? And I might pay somebody another $200 to do that I don't have any time. But if you have time, do it first, do it yourself, then make it work, and then you can scale it with someone else as an assistant. I wouldn't hire anybody to actually send emails on my behalf, but doing some of that grunt work, research, maybe creating some templates. It won't be perfect, but it'll be somebody who can just do some of the work for you. will. And then the biggest thing is not to get bogged down by negative responses. Like everything that I've done, 80% of it, 90% of it usually just didn't get responses, failed, was bad idea. Yeah. And it's very easy to get up every morning and say, okay, well, I just fell down a whole bunch yesterday and the day before and a week before. And I haven't really gotten the success in like 2-3 months now with anything. What do I do? Like, do I keep doing this? And psychologically you're like, no, I got to go back to the last moment when I had success.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but you should keep trying. You just should be changing what you're doing. If something isn't working, change it to be something new, like a different pitch, a different angle, a different way to strike a conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, email isn't working? Go to LinkedIn, find them on LinkedIn, strike up a conversation there. Maybe you ping them on Instagram. Maybe Clubhouse would be the next thing. Join Clubhouse and go to some rooms where journalists are hanging out. Raise your hand, ask a question that you know they might be interested in.
Yeah.
You know, like just think a little bit outside the box of, oh, this didn't work out. I must go and hire a PR firm. I am not good at it. That's the general thinking behind like, where it's like, oh, I don't have the expertise really.
Mm.
It's not like, can you start a conversation with a random person at the conference? Great. Like then you have the expertise to pitch a journalist. I feel like you just want to do it genuinely, you know?
Yeah, it's because everybody, I feel like it's just the way they go into it. Like they go with it with the mindset, I'm going to sell, I'm going to try and pitch. And I think it always goes back to that. So when you go in with that mindset, people perceive it. Those journalists, they know what's your intention. But when you go in with a kind of a different approach where you're kind of giving them something that will support what they're already doing, like you did with the poll, like a poll is something that's going to support what they are writing or on, like it's something that is going to help them kind of thing. They think in a different way than someone that's trying to pitch themselves to get on Forbes and stuff like that. So,
and you don't have to, a lot of people listening to this might be like, oh, I have to create a whole data source or a poll. You don't have to do anything. You don't even need to create any data around anything. You can just say, hey, I have a poll I'm working on, or I have a study I'm working on in this sector. The preliminary findings are these, and you can just guess at what they might be. Are you interested to hear more? So then if you get responses back, then you actually go and you create that data, whatever it is that you want to pitch.
Yeah.
But I have most of my students at PR.Converts, this is my online course outside of Just Reach Out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. And our customers on Just Reach Out, they just pitch ideas that they think might work that are in a relevance gap. So it's like what the journalist has covered and what you want to do. And there needs to be something different or unique about what it is.
And what about someone is getting started? Like someone like me, for example, I don't like writing at all. Like writing is not my thing, and I don't want it to be my thing, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to get into it. I like talking, I enjoy podcasting and all this stuff. But what if, like, someone wants to kind of get into PR and SEO, but they actually just don't have that thing that they want to write to get better at writing?
Yeah. So I actually, you know, those 1,500 articles you said, people might think of it and say, this is crazy. The guy just made all this stuff up. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is ridiculous. Like, how can somebody write 1,500 articles? Well, a portion of those were actually written by other people on other publications. I just pitched them the ideas and they wrote these articles on topics that I pitched them. I just gave them outlines. But what I do is I work with maybe 7 to 8 different writers. Sometimes I have more, but on any given moment, I have 7 or 8 writers. And they know my like style and what I write about. They know. And so I also don't love writing all the time. It's still like I speak Russian and English. It's not like I have like a mix of languages usually when I'm writing. And so I outline things a lot, or I do audio notes for them. And what I'll assign, and I'll say, okay, I need 10 pitches written. Here's an outline, and I'll just talk it through. I'll create audio recordings of it, and I send it off to the writer. The writer gets it, writes it, sends it to me. I might give them feedback right in audio too. If I'm just short on time or I'm going somewhere, I just literally would give them an audio feedback and we'll go back and forth like that. Hiring writers is just easy because it gives you more time. Yes. The problem with it, of course, is that the writer is not you. And so your feedback is really important and you're going to end up paying a lot of money if you're giving a lot of feedback, of course, because the more revisions. And so you want to be just careful about that. Mm-hmm. But in PR, the biggest thing would be if you're writing guest articles, you're going to need writers. If you're writing pitches, you might hire one writer or a part-time writer to just help you write pitches. If you're not into just written content all that much, you're not going to get that excited.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you're on an article that's written up, like it's just not going to be. But if you get podcasts or audio interviews or video interviews, you'll get more excited about it. And then you'd want to do more about it. And so what I would do is just pivot your PR towards where you're most excited about, which would be podcasts. Maybe it would be Clubhouse, or it would be like, you know, maybe a video. Literally, your Philippine, assistants would probably need to create lists of those, right?
Yeah.
And you just like literally pivot and focus on those. And your pitches would be kind of similar to them. It'll be, the template is pretty standard. It's like, hey, I've been covered here. I, run these things. Here are my past episodes. Here's things that I kind of want to talk to your audience about. Are you at all interested in doing like an audio interview with me? And then you kind of keep writing out of it more or less. I mean, you might need a writer to kind of write those pitches up, but then you kind of just use those pitches to pitch video, audio kind of outlets, and then just focus on that, focus your PR around that, see how that's working out for you, measure it. It won't help, like it doesn't help always with the SEO aspect of it, but it could.
So basically you can hire someone from Fiverr. You maybe can try out different writers from Fiverr and see who you vibe it with more, the most, and then hire that person all the time. You can actually do that, isn't it?
If you're just, you need some pitches rewritten and some research done around who the target, to create a customized list with personalized kind of emails, things like that. That research, Fiverr is great. Like any kid from college can sit there and Google all day and create a list of like, here is a list of podcasts you should ping. Yeah. Here's the name of the host. Here's the personalized starter on like the last three episodes and what they did. You can, the perfect job for a kid, and it's like $10 an hour. Can you just give me a list of 50 or 70 of these? Yeah. I think, and as long as you get pretty good personalized starters written up, then, and the whoever you hire could also write up a little email for you. You can change it up and
you can use as a template or something like that.
So that you don't have to do a lot of that research and writing kind of stuff.
So it's definitely because especially when you think about PR and SEO, you always think about blogging, writing, you always think about writing written content. You don't think about audio and video usually. Like when I think about it, like my mind just goes to writing because that's the main thing. So
It is, well, it's different, and it's different what you want to get out of it, too. Like, I always say, like, why do you want to do PR? People come to us all the time, they pay us money, and I, like, my question is, like, what are you doing? Like, why? And I'm like, well, I don't have a goal. Like, I just kind of want some logos on my site. I want to look legitimate, kind of, like, brand. And I was like, these are very vague goals, and so you're going to kind of not know if you're doing a good job at it or what do you want to achieve with it, right? Yeah. And so I always think of like, what's the end result? For me, it's always been traffic, conversion, revenue, right? And so I've been an SEO person. So I've been using audio, video, and written content all to do backlinks to specific pieces of content on my blog, which rank number one for my keyword. Mm-hmm. And then I start getting traffic and revenue from that one piece of content. Yeah. So I do have those writers and I do write. But if, you know, a lot of people listening to this, this might seem too advanced, sophisticated, and you don't want to jump into this thinking, okay, I got to write content and I got to get it ranking on Google and all this stuff. It's like, you know, just start out slow, you get on a podcast or something small, see if that translates into any revenue, or it might not be revenue, but it might be like followers or traffic to your site or some kind of influx of activity, and then do more of it or change it up. That's where I would start. Small wins, good for like to keep going.
Exactly. And I think it's very important to actually be patient with everything that you do, especially this stuff, because a lot of people kind of go on podcasts and they expect to maybe promote the course there, and then the next day they sold hundreds of them. That's not how it works. Like, I feel like a lot of people have these short-term goals in their mind. I'll go to podcast and then I'll make sales. I write a blog, and then it takes a lot of patience and time.
Yeah, it takes time and effort, and whatever we hear out there is just so broken most of the time. Like, nobody talks about like failures and grunt work. Everybody just kind of works for like 5 or 7 years and are like, okay, now, you know, this happened. I here. Like, I've achieved this thing. Now I'm going to talk about it. And I'm guilty of it too. Like, I haven't shared enough of like the process. I have been on podcasts pretty regularly throughout this journey of Just Reach Out, but it's like, I haven't been sharing as much of like stuff that's been like failing. I did like failures interview a couple times or a couple podcasts on failing. But I just haven't shared like how much work it is to just wait. And it's very slow grunt type of work where your inbox is usually not very happy. You know, it's every time like, yes, you got 100 new subscribers, you have 5,000 new. It's like, you know, it's slow getting going with anything.
Actually, that's what I was going through. Like, I wanted to go there and ask you, like, what are the biggest struggles or challenges that you had to overcome in this journey?
Yeah, I think I was just doing an interview with Thrive Global on this too. And I guess there are like a couple of things that kind of stand out for me and I think about when it comes to challenges. So challenges for me were acquiring customers, ranking on Google to try and, you know, beat my competition. And, you know, when people say how to write the press release, I come up first. People convert to paying customers. They stay on with my product as a paying customer because people come and go. They want to do PR today. They don't want to do it tomorrow. They have all these questions about, is it going to work? Our journalists are going to cover me. So you open up this can of worms of like, oh, we have a tool that helps you do PR. Everybody and their mother is like, oh, how much PR am I going to get? When am I going to get it? How much work do I have to put in? And it's like, it's just a tool. I can't promise anything, you know, from the journalist side. So those were like constant issues and struggles with it. But there are two things that I kept coming back to. One is I interviewed two people, Patrick Byrne. He's this founder of Overstock.com. And Philip Rosedale, he's the guy who built Second Life, which is like a very popular game. And so when I interviewed Patrick Byrne, he had the 6-month mentality. So when he was like in his 30s or 40s, he was diagnosed with some condition where they told him he only has 6 months to live. Yeah. And so he reevaluated his life and he said, well, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing day to day? Is it worth it? Where should I be spending my time and effort for the next 6 months, because that's all I have on this earth. And so after the 6 months, they actually told him that there's a chance and they can help him. And they gave him another 6 months. So he learned kind of to live 6 months at a time, really evaluated how he's working, what he's doing, and made sure that he's actually passionate about what he's doing and spending the most time where it matters, right? Because he'll never get this time back. And the end is like so near. Yeah. The second one was Philip Rosedale. And he just told me, when we met with him, he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I'm doing this PR for Polar." He's like, "Well, let me ask you this. If you were never going to make any money, you knew this already, you'll never make any money out of this thing, and it won't get acquired. This thing is just going to kind of close down in the next 3 years. Would you still be doing it?" And I was like, "Probably, because I want to learn how to do this right." Right.
Yeah.
But that was like a good question, because like I turned around and most people around me were not doing that. They were just, they just had a job, or they just kind of sort of thought this was a good idea. And so those things stuck with me. And so that's what was like my anchor driving me through most, I guess, things that I kind of struggled with day to day, like, oh, you know, customers leaving, churn, people not staying on, not wanting to do PR because they don't know if they're going to get more, problems with, you know, pitching and all these different traffic issues that we were having, not ranking on Google, you know, partnerships that didn't work out, people that promised, you know, like they thought they were going to get PR. Just dealing with customers and their journey through the product and realizing there's a lot of problems with promising PR and making that as a promise. Those were two main anchors. Like I still, even if Just Reach Out was just going to close its doors, I'd still probably be doing it because I'd be teaching people how to do PR, and that's my passion. And that's what I kind of want to do in life. Mm. And then I'd probably still prioritize like work-life balance. I still spend more time with my kids and family than I do working. They talk about it all the time. I educate people on how to do that. Yeah. But it was like, and so, yeah, I always like to tell people this, because I just see people running. Like today, because we have so many apps and everything is just always on, you always open up your phone. This is why I have this like crappy iPhone 5 that, you know, it just dies when you go outside. So I can't really have anything on it. I can make calls on it, and I don't want to get rid of it, even though it's on 3G and they keep telling me it's going to go down. I might get a flip phone, but it's like just slowing down because everything is pushing you to get more and more and more and more. And you're kind of chasing something. You're chasing somebody else's goals. And just coming back to these two things really helped kind of ground me and just persevere and do what I've been doing. And I didn't care. Like if this had to close down, great. I would have had an amazing 2, 4, 5 years running it. I would have met awesome people. I would have helped a whole bunch of people, and so be it. Like it didn't close down. Like I would be happy and content with it. And that's why I kind of was doing what I was doing. And
I think what you said is so important to kind of remember, especially the fact that you said we're chasing someone else's goals. And that's something that we see a lot happening, even yourself. Like if you sit down and reflect, every time you're on social media, especially myself, sometimes I sit down and reflect. Every time I'm on social media and I see these new coaches doing this new stuff and doing this stuff, and I watch YouTube videos, I'm so influenced to follow what they're doing, because in my head, what they're doing is actually the right pathway. But is it actually the reality? And sometimes I do sit down and think about these things and kind of tell myself, you know, take a step back. That's not your goal. That's their goal. Don't keep comparing yourself to people out there. Don't keep going the direction that they want to go. Kind of like take a step back and, you know, go into what you want to do. Think about the things that are aligned to who you are and what you want to do. So I think that was very important what you actually said.
It's a lot of people struggle with that. I feel like they just don't exactly know what they want to do, and they kind of know their strengths, but they, like, I talk to people and they're like, "I kind of want to write," you know, like, "Okay, well, what do you want to write?" "Well, I'm really good at writing, but I don't have a," and so then it becomes this roadblock. But there's like vision and mission workshops, and I know there's just a lot of info out there on figuring that part out of like, here's your really big strong suit that you're passionate about. How can you actually create an end goal out of it? Could be a blog or a book or maybe a podcast or whatever. So like, Figuring that out and working on that would probably yield you more long term, but people just kind of leave it. They're like, I don't really know. I'll just go get a job and I'll figure it out later while I get a job. And so then all your effort is in that job and they kind of meander around it. And you really want to dig deep, like inside, to see like what ticks, like what would you be doing if you knew you were never going to make any money out of it, fame. And then it's worth it. It's worth it to just do that thing, because there is only so many days in it. You just forget in a mundane environment, like winter or whatever, like you don't enjoy outside, just get up. You're like, open up your inbox. You're like, okay, I got to respond to all these things. Mm-hmm. And that's like the world's to-do list for you every morning. And that's what most people, that's what they do. They do other people's to-do lists for you, because that's what you got to do, right? Your day is only this short, so you got to get everything done. Mm-hmm. So you are never on your to-do list. It's your inbox who's on there. Yeah. And people use all these apps, but still I feel like people are not really questioning like what makes them tick inside, what do they want to do, mm-hmm. you know?
I think that's so important to kind of like stop and reflect about these kind of things, like in life in general. Like, yeah, like you're saying, like the whole world, all these apps, they're constantly telling us which direction we should go. We constantly follow someone else's direction. We never have we don't actually have the time to kind of think about where we want to go, because that's the reality. If you are not actually kind of trying to take a different direction and you maybe get out of your job, I'm not saying that a job is bad, but a lot of the time when you're in a job, and I remember back in the days when I used to have a job, I used to think, how can I make this day end faster? Yeah. Like literally, that would be your whole thought. Like, can this day come to an end? When is the weekend coming? Can it come faster? So you're kind of always on this kind of road where you just can't wait for everything to move too fast.
Yeah, and you only have so many days. So you don't actually mm-hmm. want to like push your age, the aging process faster, right? But you kind of want these days to end faster. Yeah. So you're spending most of your life doing stuff that you're kind of sort of, and you have to figure it out. Like you need the salary or you need money to live on, and your new business or whatever you're doing isn't going to flourish overnight. Yeah. So it's a challenge. Yeah. It's not easy, but I would still work on that, because even though it's hard, at least you're doing something that you're really, really passionate about and you really want to do. Yeah. And it shows. I feel like overall it should show you. Maybe it's just a small pivot, you know?
I used to like that. So let's go back to, you know, PR and SEO. Let's share some actionable tips that our listeners can actually take to get started in PR and SEO.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, if you've never done PR before, I would definitely recommend going to help a reporter out, or journal requests, which is a hashtag. In UK, it's big to use journal requests. And there's also a response source. Those three, journal requests, help a reporter out, journal requests, and response source. These are newsletter aggregators where journalists, bloggers, podcasters are putting out questions every single day. And there's thousands of them on any given topic. So if you're listening to this and you're really a big expert in, I don't know, environment and pollution, then you would type those keywords in and you would see all these questions from CNN and Forbes and other smaller publications specifically around that. And so if you can answer those things, great. If you're an e-commerce entrepreneur or you're a marketing expert, great. Put in marketing or e-commerce and you'll get questions every single day. Start doing that, because A, you get to see what journalists and bloggers are asking about. B, you actually have a chance at being featured somewhere, because you're a subject matter expert and you're just responding to journalists. You don't need to think of a story to pitch. You don't need to create lists of people. This is free. It's easy. It's simple. And really gets your feet wet in PR. Gets you some hits. So I would start there as like thinking about promoting yourself. The next thing that like is an actionable tip, I would say, start thinking about just what do you want to do with this PR? Like, how do you want this to help you with your business? And what is the long-term approach here? And that's where you would start kind of pivoting. In PR that converts course, when I work through these calls with students, this comes up a lot. They get 3-4 mentions. Then they come on the call. They come on the call and they say, hey, Dimitri, what do I kind of need to do here? And I was like, okay, well, what do you want to do with PR? Why do you want to do it? And they're like, well, maybe revenue would be one thing, or maybe it's just building my image as a thought leader. Yeah. This would be another, you know, goal, but really figure out the goal, right? And then start working towards that goal. So if it's revenue, then you need to be producing content that's ranking high on Google that constantly pulls in traffic. That's important. If it's just image building, then you might be writing about doing guest articles, or you might be doing podcast appearances. But working on that goal is really important. And from that goal, kind of figuring out what it is that you want to do. I know this one is a little bit of a like a big picture type of a action item. Yeah. It's not necessarily something tactical you can implement right away, but it's important because then you figure out what you want to do. And you can always ask me what you want to do, read one of the articles or guides, but it'll come to you. It should come rather natural. And you can always send an email to me and ask. But, you know, like image building, that means you're just being on podcast interviews and you're on guest articles. You're just submitting content everywhere because your image is what you write about and talk about. And if it's revenue, then it's not so much appearing all over the place. It's literally traffic in and conversions. Mm-hmm. So to get traffic in, you're either doing ads or you're doing organic. And to get organic through content, you got to rank on Google. And in order to rank on Google, you got to link to one piece of content constantly so that piece of content keeps ranking higher.
Yeah.
So those are like some things that I would start out with. I can give you more, but I think as anybody who's starting out, and I've seen this so many times, those are good things to take away, think about, get your feet wet with, and then reach out and I can send more tips, more action items, more things that you can like start implementing, because it's overwhelming. Like sometimes you hear somebody talk about stuff to do, or I don't know. There's just stuff coming at you all the time. So I don't want to give too much.
Exactly. We want to keep it simple as well so that, you know, you can actually do it. Because a lot of the time when you have too much to do, you end up doing nothing. But thank you so much for those tips. And how can our listeners connect with you?
They can go to my site, criminallyprolific.com, criminallyprolific.com. So prolific, it's criminal. That's why my wife named it criminallyprolific.com. There's a contact link there. They can check out PR.Converts, which is my online education platform, which I am focusing most of my attention on now. And they click a chat icon there, and you can send a note on PR.Converts. But yeah, those are my two sites, criminallyprolific.com, PR.Converts.
That's amazing. So we're going to add all these details in the link in the description. We're also going to mention all the resources Dimitri talked about. So check the link in the description. Not the link. Why do I keep saying link? We're not on YouTube. Like the show notes. Sorry, guys. Like watching too much YouTube. Yeah, just check the show notes for all the details, how to get in contact with Dimitri. And as I always say, like, don't be afraid to reach out and ask questions, get the support you need, because I feel like Dimitri is one of those people who is open to kind of support and give you the answers that you need.
Anytime you have a question, I'll help you. I help customers who left us, who are not paying us any money at all. I still go back and forth on them. I still help them. People that email me with questions, I'll respond to most people. You know, if they have a question about PR, and point them in the right direction.
Yeah. And also check out, obviously, his course, PR that Converts. Make sure kind of to, you know, get into PR if you're not already, because I think as a business, it's so important. Either you're thinking to go with writing, like, you know, SEO and all that stuff, or you actually do podcasting stuff. You just go with the easiest to form for you, like Dimitri was saying before. So kind of like connect with Dimitri, like I always say, it doesn't cost anything to ask some questions if you have any, because I know that it can be like a little bit daunting, and you're just like, you know, is he a dumb question? There's never any dumb question.
No, ask away. It's fine. I was in your shoes like 2007 or 8. I fell down so many times trying to pitch, and I sent all sorts of things to people, and I had all sorts of ideas about what journalists want to see and want. Just, I don't know. It's just, I would come up, I would send like letters to them. I'd like write out letters, try and find their address, put like stickers in there. I had all sorts of weird ideas about what journalists might want to see.
Yeah. So you see, Dimitri done it all. He's done the mistakes, and you can avoid them by just reaching out to him.
Yeah. If you have an idea that's like a little bit off caliber, just ask me. I'll tell you if it's going to work or not. Some stuff works, you know. Grasshopper did an awesome campaign where they put, I think, crickets, they're chocolate covered. And they, or grasshoppers, grasshoppers, grasshopper is like a phone company, but it's, the name is grasshopper. So they put real grasshoppers that were like dried, dipped in chocolate. They put them in letters and they just sent them to all these journalists and bloggers. So all of them, these journalists and bloggers got their letters. They're like, oh, chocolate covered grasshoppers. That's crazy. And they got tons of press and PR on that. Yeah. They were on CNN and Forbes.
And also people like things that are not that serious.
Yeah, it's kind of like funny, and they're like, oh, look at what happened to this brand is doing. Like, so there are like stunts like that that work. Usually it's hard, it's like hit or miss. Like, you can do hundreds of these, but
thank you so much for sharing all this value, and thank you for being on the podcast today.
Really. Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more resources, check out www.shewinsmastermind.com. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. See you next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.